Members and audience attendees, we'll call the meeting of the Agriculture and Rural Economies to order. We'll have a quorum. Today, members and the audience, we're unveiling our omnibus bill. You should have in your packets the spreadsheet. We'll start with that, I think, and we'll go through that step by step. We'll have our fiscal analyst, Mr. Dan Mueller, walk us through the spreadsheet. Mr. Mueller.
Mr. Chairman, members, the spreadsheet is pretty simple. It's just a two-page spreadsheet. And the way it's laid out, it's by agency, and we're just showing the change items from as compared to the base budget. The first column shows the current biennium budget, the one that says current 2010 and 11. That's just there for information to show what the current funding is. And then we're showing the Senate proposal for the next biennium, and then the tails after that, 2014 and 15. The first couple rows, the Department of Ag starts on line 7. The first lines, 8 through 11, show just the base budget for the Department of Ag in sort of their all funds. General fund is their base budget is $73.6 million, and then after that, got $91 million of other funds. So they have a total base budget of $165.9 million. And following that are the change items, and I'll go through those quickly. For the most part, these were all in the governor's bill. These are all the governor's change items that the Senate is proposing adopting here. A reduction to pesticide and fertilizer management of $200,000. That's about a 15% reduction there. Now, these are just general fund reductions. A reduction to plant protection, that's about a 13% reduction. Dairy and food development, there's a small reduction there. Laboratory services, $32,000 reduction, that's less than 1%. Then we have an increase of general fund spending. Now, this is tied to a fee increase that also was proposed in the governor's bill. It's increasing the food handlers' fees, and that would... And this would also increase the spending in that area by $490,000. That's also increased revenue by that much. Wholesale producers, dealers' fee. This change here is actually just moving money. This $120,000 per year is just moving money out of the general fund and into the ag fund. So you'll see down below on line 28, there's a positive $120,000 per year. So this is just moving money out of the general fund to the ag fund. And also the fee would be doing the same thing that's tied to this. The marketing reduction of $960,000 was in the Gov's proposal. This is a little bit over 30% reduction. Development and financial assistance, $162,000 reduction. Then the governor's proposal dealing with ethanol producer payments, we're adopting that here by moving money, $296,000, into 2012 to complete the payments of all the existing facilities. And then the second year, there would be an $8.9 million cut from the about a little bit less than $15 million that's in the base. So that would leave a little bit less than $6 million for making the Agri program for grants. And we'll go through that in the language later about how that's spelled out. The last reduction is the one area where we're above the governor, the a little bit bigger reduction of $320,000 to agency operations. It's a $208,000 bigger reduction than the governor. So a total general fund reduction Department of Ag of $10.932 million. And that is about a 14.8% total reduction of general fund. You'll see that also on line 40 summarizes that. Lines 27 through 29 are some other small ag fund changes that were in the governor's proposal. These are tied to some small fee changes. The wholesale producer's fee. Now, this is just moving money from the general fund to the ag fund, so this is actually not a fee increase. And then the next one, that anhydrous ammonia inspections, was the governor's proposal. That would increase a fee that goes into the ag fund of So, and also some increased spending from the ag fund on that. So the total changes for the Department of Ag is $10.35 million. Total general fund change is $10.9 million. And then you'll see the revenue changes in on the bottom of page one there, which are all tied to spending changes above. So that's it for the Department of Ag.
Questions on the Department of Ag? Senator Brown.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Line 18, the retail food handler fee increase. Mm-hmm. Who does that affect, and why are we increasing that?
Senator Brown, there's a... When we get into the language, you'll see...
Okay.
There'll be a better definition of that. You'll
okay.
see just exactly what the fee increases are, everything else. So if you want to wait until that...
I will. Thank you,
that
Mr.
Part,
Chair.
That'll be good. That'll be helpful to you to see that. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, on to page, flip it over for page two. We have the Animal Health Board and AURI. First, we go to the Animal Health Board. We're proposing here a little bit bigger reduction than what was in the governor's bill. The governor had proposed a $510,000 general fund reduction. This would add an extra $84,000 to the governor's reduction, making it a general fund reduction to Animal Health Board of 4.8%, total of $594,000, or a 5.8% general fund reduction. The agency reduction is 4.8%. On the AURI, the governor proposed no reduction here. What this is showing is a 14% reduction, which is same as what the overall reduction to the division's general fund spending is. So that would be a $780,000 reduction to AURI, and that's, again, 14%. So for the total for the all three agencies in this division, you'll see on line 76, we got $12.3 million worth of general fund reductions, $250,000 in new revenue going into the general fund, so a net effect on the general fund is $12.556 million, or 14% of our general fund base. And that is it for the spreadsheet.
Questions on the spreadsheet so far? If not, we'll go ahead and have Mr. Knopf explain the bill, the written form, and the language in the bill, and we'll put in the numbers where we see fit. We can. So, members, if you want to pull out the bill, we'll work on it from there. Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chairman, we're looking at the document in the upper right corner, AG, /APP. It's the Agri-Appropriations draft bill. You will note that the numbers in here are blanked. They are on the spreadsheet. Next week, on Tuesday, when you meet to move the bill out, we will likely have a new draft with the numbers inserted. At some point, they'll be inserted into the document, but it's better at this point in time to leave them just on the spreadsheet. So just to let you know that. And the first page of the bill is just our standard language on how we handle the appropriations and the totals that are in the bill. If you move to page two, we get into the Department of Agriculture. And what I'll do is I'll just walk you through some of the riders that are in here. The three riders that you see in the bottom of page two are base riders that have been in for a while. One is dealing with the voluntary cleanup program, and then you've got the wolf damage compensation and the crop damage compensation from elk programs that are in there. Those are base riders, again, have been carried for a number of years in this area. Look on the top of page three. That's just allowing the wolf and elk money to be mixed if because of high amounts are appropriated for one or the other program. The rider on 3.7 to 3.8, that's a base rider also for the plant pest surveys. The rider on 3.11 to 3.26, this is the Minnesota Grown program, and again, another base rider. That's been carried for a number of years, dealing with how we deal with the grants for the Minnesota Grown Promotion Program. 3.27, the the right at the beginning there. This is for the training for technical assistance to county and town officials relating to livestock siting. Again, that's a base rider, a base amount that's been appropriated for a number of years for that. And when we move over to, and that goes through line 4.8. We move over to page 4. This is the organic cost share program for those people who are trying to become organic producers. The state has a small cost share program to help with that process, and that's basically the rider that the remainder of page 4 from 4.9 on. Again, this is excuse me, language that's been carried for a few years on this program. Yeah, Mr. Chairman, there is a federal program for this too, and how the two programs work is maybe somebody from the Department of Agriculture could explain to you how they work with the two programs. But it basically there's some federal money that also comes down for this. The state portion here, I think you'll see when the bill comes out next week. It's about $24,000 per year, or something like that. It's most of the money that goes into this is federal money. And then on page 5, we've got the bioenergy and value-added agriculture subdivision. And you'll see the first rider in there is based on the governor's budget for finishing the ethanol payments in the first fiscal year, as Mr. Mueller went through in the spreadsheet. And if there's any money left over, if for some reason they don't make all the payments, it'll be transferred to the agri program. That's on 5.15. That's the statutory reference. 5.17, this is from Senator Magnus's bill, Senate File 538, as amended in committee, using general fund for the bioenergy grants through the NextGen board. And again, this is the language as it was amended in committee from Senate File 538. Well, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Mueller had on that. He had a total of something like $5 million left over after you make the ethanol payments. This, right now, it's not been allocated as how much is bioenergy and how much is for the agri program in general. So you may want to discuss how much you're going to put into those programs.
Yeah, members, if you recall, off the spread, we talked off the spreadsheet, there's about $5.48 million available in these funds. And you'll note on if you go back on page 7 a little farther ahead, we have in here a commitment to fund Senator Saxhog's bill that we heard a few weeks ago for $100,000. If we do that, then it would leave us about $5.38 million. Our suggestion at the time we heard the bill here on the NextGen board was, since the NextGen board got $3 million in 2007, our suggestion was to put $3 million into that. That would be the line on 5.17, and then the remainder on 6.24 would be for the agri fund, would be for other issues we could look at, livestock, rural economic development, and so on. And that number would be $2.38 million if we wanted to put those in. So,
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, I lost. Which line were you putting
that
in?
That line was 6.24, and okay. That's for the remainder of the agri fund, which we can use for several things. Need to discuss this with the department, and we haven't had a chance to sit down and visit with this. And I think we should do this as a full committee with them at a later time, but. Our suggestion now is to put $2.38 million into that line of 6.24 and $3 million on line 5.17 for the NextGen board. So any discussions on that? That's just a suggestion that we have. We're willing to listen with the board, with the folks. And I know Senator Rosen is as chair of the Energy Committee, will be on the NextGen board also. So, and we do have some increasing activity in some new generation fuels. You might remember we mentioned that the ethanol plant in Laverne will be converted next year to produce isobutanol, that'll be the first commercial plant in the world. So there is some interest with that in other areas. So Senator Rosen.
Mr. Chair, and that's I wish there was always more into the Next Gen board, but I do agree that the $3 million to sustain their funding and keep these going. There are some great projects out there. We are actually having an overview of the Next Gen in Energy Committee at 3 o'clock, too. So yeah. It is a good, very good board that's served by many people from the industries and the universities and, of course, the legislature and the departments. So.
So do you want to, is the committee's suggestion to leave those numbers in as we're recommending, or Senator Keelash?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, could you just explain why you chose this particular fund to put the remainder in versus saying more funding for RE or whatever?
Well, because that money comes under, it's the funding portion of the ag value-added products. Is the one line, and then the other one's the agri program, and that's specified in here. Some of it can be used for research, certainly. In some areas in the past, we've used them for investment grants where we leverage some funding for livestock improvement to make our livestock industry more efficient. But, again, we need to have a discussion on that. So as we go.
Mr. Chairman, we can move over to page 6. You mentioned the dollar amount on the bottom of page 6 for that rider, and the one that starts on 6.24. That was, again, from your bill, Mr. Chairman, Senate File 397, dealing with the agri program. And you can see the language. This is the same language that was in 2 years ago for this. And then, Mr. Chairman, on top of page 7, the rider starts on 7.3. As you mentioned, this is from Senator Saxfog's bill, Senate File 46, for the biomass plant, and you're talking about $100,000 for that. Then we move to Subdivision 5, which is Administration and Financial Assistance. The first rider there, again, is a base rider in 7.13. This is for the Dairy Development and Profitability Enhancement and Dairy Business Planning Grant programs. That have been established for a number of years in the state. Again, it's a base rider that we've included before. On the bottom of page 7.34, that's, again, a base rider. And then on page 8, they're all base riders. You get the Livestock Breeders Association, the MILC grant, the money for the county and district agricultural societies for the fairs, starting on 8.11, and then you've got the Poultry Association on 8.21. Now, one thing that's a little different, you'll see on 8.24 through 8.34, there was a suggestion that there were two riders for the Turf Seed Council, and there was confusion over which one was which and why there were two. So I've combined those into one rider with, if you see Clause 1 and Clause 2, are the two different purposes for the riders, and put them into one grant rather than having two separate grants. For the same organization. So that's a combination of two base riders from the past. On page 9, again, you've got the base rider for the money going to Second Harvest Heartland. Starts on 9.1, and this is all language that was in the law 2 years ago for this, so it's the same language for it. On 9.30, starts the rider for to MinSCU for mental health counseling to support farm families. Again, another base rider that's been carried for a number of years in this bill. And then on the top of page 10, that's the grant to the Horticultural Society. Again, a base rider, small amount of money that goes there. The rider on 10.4 to 10.23, that's the AFRIC program that's been discussed in this committee before. That's the money that's paid through the fertilizer fees. And that it goes through the Minnesota Agriculture Fertilizer Research and Education Council. So that's the rider for that. Again, a base rider that's been in for a number of years. So those are the riders for the Department of Ag. And we'll get into statutory language related to the Department of Ag later. We'll get into the fees and the other changes that are in the bill. The Board of Animal Health in the bottom of page 10, those are all base riders dealing with bovine TB. And Yoni's disease and the Cervidae inspection program. And then on page 11, the AURI, that's again a base rider for the AURI. That's been carried before. Now we'll get into the statutory language changes. The first one is from Senator Rosen's bill, Senate File 558, as amended by committee. This basically would allow for a concrete or reinforcing bar from a building or structure located on land use for farming to be buried. Again, that was as modified by the committee. And then Section 7 is this is a modified version of what we saw on Tuesday. It's from Senator Rosen 776. It was the first section from that. That bill was sent over to Environment and Natural Resources, but the first section is being carried here. It's an agricultural provision. And it's a modified version of that. There was some consternation at the end of the hearing over whether or not either the original bill or the amendment that was offered were the right language. So I worked on this yesterday to come up with something and did get the approval of the Department of Agriculture for the language that's here. But it makes it very clear that as long as the pesticides are only for terrestrial application, including agricultural crop structures and other non-aquatic environments, that it is only the Commissioner of Agriculture should be permitting that. In fact, you'll see on 12.7, the sentence that starts there, except as provided in Subdivision 3. And the Subdivision 3, you don't see it here, but that allows the commissioner to delegate to another state agency some of its activities. I don't think that's occurred in any recent history, but it's just to acknowledge that. But then it says a state agency other than the Department of Agriculture shall not regulate or require permits for the terrestrial application of pesticides unless the target site includes the application of pesticides to public waters. And we've got the definition of public waters. Public waters are very defined rather than waters of the state or waters of the United States. Some of the ones that were discussed the other day, they're a very defined entity or part of our environment that's mapped out. So it would be easy to know when they could do this. So I think this gets at some of the issues that were discussed. But I just want to make sure people were clear that this is not the exact language that we were talking about on Tuesday.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Knopf, so and obviously he has been approved by the Department of Ag and the other interested parties. The language that was removed, that was the oral amendment, correct, that
yes.
added something about forest floors?
Yep.
And yeah, that was a little confusing. Yes. So there was talk after committee about straightening this language up, and that's good. Thank you.
And, Mr. Chair, we'll move on to Section 8 on page 12. We get into the anhydrous ammonia. Mr. Mueller mentioned in the spreadsheet the additional fee for this. And this is basically from the governor's recommendation. So you'll see a definition of ammonia and anhydrous ammonia. You see Section 9 deals with certification of regulatory compliance. Again, this is related to anhydrous ammonia. You'll see that also there's a number of sections here that are tied to that. And you'll see Section 10 on page 13, you've got the fertilizer inspection account. It's being broadened to include the surcharge. And then also Section 11 deals with the payment of the surcharge, and that was discussed as when the committee went through the governor's budget, the 75 cents per ton on anhydrous ammonia. And then Section 12 is the $400 reinspection fee that was discussed when going through the governor's budget. And this is just taken directly from the governor's budget and the bill, the language that's been worked out through the executive branch agencies. And then again on Section 13, we're dealing with the same topic and dealing with the enforcement record risk factors. And this is all in the fertilizer law for the state. And then, well, actually, 18D is in the enforcement law, but it's tied into the fertilizer law. Mr. Chairman, Section 14, this was that small fee on the ACRA surcharge, the small increase that was discussed. You'll see on 14.30 that for we're not going to have a de minimis fee anymore below which they wouldn't pay anything for agricultural pesticides. It'll only apply to non-agricultural pesticides. And again, this is the governor's recommendation for the ACRA surcharge. And then, Mr. Chairman, on page 15, you'll see the wholesale produce dealers account. Mr. Mueller mentioned this and going through the spreadsheet. This is now where the money would would go, all fees and charges and penalties will be placed in the agricultural fund. And this is instead of the general fund. This is the change of where the money goes. And then this money is a statutory appropriation to the department rather than having a direct appropriation to the agency. And then, Mr. Chairman, on page 16, these are the fees that you mentioned earlier the fees that Mr. Mueller is going through, the increase in the retail food handler fees. You can see the fees listed here. Again, this is a governor's recommendation. And you can see the fee increases.
Senator Brown.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you explain to me why the governor wants to raise these fees?
Okay, we'll have the department wish to come up and testify. Is my recollection, Senator Brown, that these fees, we are required by the federal laws to inspect these food handlers on a certain time period. Our inspection service is lagging right now, so we're behind on what the federals are specifying, and so they wish to increase the fees to hire, I think, two more full-time equivalent employees to get this up to where the federal requirements are at. Ms. Gauthier, is that a fair explanation, or do you have more to add on?
Mr. Chairman, I think you explained it pretty much. Yes, this would allow us to add 2 to 3 additional inspectors. I think you pretty much covered it, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Senator Brown.
So, Mr. Chair, this is an instance where the job's not getting done. It's not an instance of where we're having excess money left over.
Right. That's my understanding, Senator Brown, is that we are required by the federals to do this inspection service on a certain time frame, and we're not meeting that time frame, so we need to ramp up the efforts. And our department's suggestion is that we increase the fees to fund the additional employees needed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, just one point of information.
Ms. Gauthier.
The other component of this fee increase is that no one retail facility or entity will pay more than a 15% increase. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And members, that's one of the fee, that one, and then the two, and anhydrous ammonia fees. The one is a reinspection fee. If you have a violation, well, there's Dr. Kassenberg now. We're just talking about it.
Okay.
Heidi, we're talking about your inspection fee suggestions in here. So, but we have the two anhydrous fees. Then one is the reinspection fee. If you've had a violation, you have to come out and look at this again, so you pay an additional fee. And the other one is the 75 cents a ton. That's about 5 cents an acre. An additional fees to help out with the inspection of anhydrous ammonia. So those are the three basically fees in the bill.
Mr. Chairman, if I could please, just to be clear too on that anhydrous fee, when a facility or a owner is not in compliance, we do work with them, making many trips, meetings, conversations, et cetera, to bring them into compliance so that then if we finally have to reinspect, that's when that second fee would kick in. But we do work with them to do our best to bring them up to compliance. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chairman, now we can turn to page 19. And this was the exchange provision for county agricultural societies from Senator Saxog's bill, Senate File 260, and it just includes the language as it was discussed in committee. And then, if you turn to page 20, you have a kind of a chair's recommendation to undo a change made in 2009 to the ethanol producer payment law. Which if you look on 20.18 to 20.20, and then at the end of the section, there's another change too. It deals with ownership of for the payments. And prior to 2009, the state did not have ownership requirements. There were reporting requirements, but not specific ownership requirements. This was put in 2009, and the chair is recommending to undo that 2009 change.
Okay. And again, this will be the end of the ethanol payments, so we have questions from our non-real colleagues. You know that this first year now, that's it. Ethanol payments, the deficiency payments earned from years before are will be paid off under this bill.
And, Mr. Chairman, we have the second part of that change is on 22.5 to 22.7. Just want to make sure people knew where that was.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Nelson.
I just have a question on that deletion on 20.18, 19, and 20. If we're at the end of the payment cycle for these for the ethanol plants, why is it important that we change the language regarding the reporting if we're at the end of the cycle?
Well, Senator Nelson, these payments are deficiency payments, and they've been earned through the period of years when we were not able to pay those. And so, there, as I said, we're seeing changes in the ethanol industry out there now. And so, basically, the payments we're making now, the deficiency payments, were earned several years ago.
Oh, Mr. Chair, I understand that. I understand all about those deficiency payments. I'm just not clear why on those why we're changing the reporting requirement. It looks like we're changing what the annual reports must affirm regarding majority ownership. And I'm just not sure why we are changing the reporting when we're at the end of the payment cycle. It just there must be a reason. I just can't figure out what it is.
Well, as I said, they're deficiency payments. But we'll let Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chairman and members, it looks like a reporting requirement, but it really does more than that. It really becomes a requirement when you say affirming the majority ownership of the entity that's held by farmers or other entities. That basically becomes a restriction on the money rather than a reporting requirement. And what the chairman is talking about doing here is taking the restriction off. There's still going to be the report, the above disclosure statements and all that, if you look in the language above the stricken language. This just, that is not really changed. It basically, that this reporting requirement became more of a substantive issue as far as who's eligible. So if plants, while they're receiving their deficiency payments, make changes in how the operators or their organization or structure, then this would allow them to continue to be to receive those deficiency payments.
Just a follow-up, please. So, what I understand is it's changing something regarding the ownership requirements for the plant. So, current language says that the majority ownership must be held by farmers or other entities eligible to farm or own agriculture land, and we're striking that language. So are we saying now that we have a different requirement for who can own the ethanol plants, even though we're on the last year of the payments?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, what this does is it, yes, it, again, this was put in 2009. Prior to 2009, there were no restrictions throughout the ethanol program as to who could own an ethanol plant to receive compensation. Most of them were farmer-owned, but they didn't have to be.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you for your indulgence. I just want to understand this. So what is the net effect, then, of saying that that these plants no longer need to be owned by a majority ownership by farmers or other entities? So what's the end result of this language change? What could we expect to see?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Nelson, it would mean during this last year when the deficiency payments are being sent out to the various ethanol plants that are due deficiency payments, that if their organization structure changes, they could still receive the deficiency payments rather than being cut off because of some change in organization.
So,
Senator Nelson?
So, Mr. Chair, so why would they want to change ownership in the last year of a program?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Nelson, for various reasons. I think the chair mentioned one that already is under new ownership.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I think the chair mentioned one that's already under new ownership. The one in Laverne.
Right.
Okay, so it might, thank you, Mr. Chair, so it might allow for a different type of structure.
Right.
Is Exactly.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Nelson, this plant's going to make isobutanol next year now. So it's switching over. They're spending this year switching over. They're still producing ethanol. You have to produce ethanol to get it.
Yes.
But again, these are deficiency payments earned from years before.
Right. Thank you for your indulgence in clarifying that.
Mr. Knopf?
Mr. Chairman, we can move to page 22, section 19. Again, this was in Senator Rosen's bill, Senate Bill 558, dealing with oversight over livestock mortality, making it clear that it's the Board of Animal Health is responsible for this. Section 20, this was from, again, Senator Saxhog's bill, Senate File 260. And I just want to point out that the changes are on page 23, starting on 23.21. The one thing I want to make sure people know, Senator Saxhog had requested an amendment. This bill was sent on to local government and elections, and Senator Saxhog had requested an amendment for that bill. There was some concern over who the appraiser is and the proper notice when this was going to happen. So I did engross the amendment into this when I put it in the bill, so I just want to make sure Senator Saxhog knows about that. So this includes the amendment that you have for that committee. That it has to be on 23.25 performed by a licensed Minnesota real estate appraiser. And then on 23.28, they also have to publish notice in the official newspaper of the county, not just have a notice in the auditor's office.
Senator Scoy?
Thank you, and maybe to Mr. Knopf. Is this provision now going to be effect for all county land exchanges or is this just applying to this one that's with ag societies?
Mr. Knopf?
Mr. Chairman, this will be for all county fee land. Now, this is not tax forfeited land. Mm-hmm. Actually, the process here is based on the process used for exchanges of tax forfeited land. This was the one when Senator Saxhog had his bill in front of us. There was a county auditor who he had along with to testify that the attorney, they were trying to exchange some land that was partially owned by the county and partially owned by the County Agricultural Society. And an attorney working for the title company or for the person who was going to receiving this land anyways had determined that they didn't have the authority to exchange. And so this would provide them county's clear authority to exchange. Now, county tax forfeited land, they have this type of authority for exchanging lands. There was no authority for county for fee-owned land, which is there's not as much county fee-owned land as there is tax forfeited.
And Mr. Chair, maybe to Senator Saxhog, I assume you took this to the state government committee or whatever it's called now. This private appraisal is, I would guess, a pretty large change. Have the county assessors weighed in on this?
Senator Saxhog.
Well, not to the last question, but the question before Mr. Chair and Senator Scoy. All that's being done here can now be done by fee purchase. This only changes to exchange. It includes exchanges now as well as fee purchase of lands.
And Senator Saxhog, so on non-fee, they can use a private appraisal?
Senator Saxhog?
That's what the amendment's going to say, yes.
Well, that's my question. We'll have an opportunity to, I'll check with the assessors and see what they think about this. But I might have an issue with that change that's being made here.
Now, why don't you take a look at that, Senators, and see what our intent is to meet on Tuesday on the bill then and accept amendments, public testimony, and so we'll see what we can come up with.
And, Mr. Chairman, that brings us to the last section of the draft. On page 24, this is an extension of a clean water appropriation. This could have been carried in the legacy bill that will be coming out of Environment and Natural Resources this year. But this is the Department of Ag. It doesn't affect any of the new money. This is basically allowing them to carry forward some of the money for research and pilot projects to extend it until spent. So it's basically just the governor's recommendation to extend that appropriation. And so this is included here in Section 21.
And members, you might recall I have Senate File 668. It deals with the hopefully we get an appropriations as we did last go-around. I have Senate File 668 in front of the Environment Committee, and that'll be heard after the budget bills are done when they talk about the legacy funding. Remember, we had the Discovery Farms and lots of other areas we talked about that day. We had Ag's contribution to improving Minnesota Waters Day. So hopefully we can continue to get some funding out of that. I think it's shown that we're making good progress, but also showing that we need more progress to make. So any other questions of the bill or the spreadsheet or anything else, members? Senator Scoy.
Mr. Chair, I just want to comment. I like what you brought over from the House.
Well, Senator Scoy, my glasses, I don't know. They're getting they must be getting dirtier because I'm having more problems seeing.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I don't know why it is that the House always has these slick rulers that you can use to read the spreadsheets with, and the Senate has never gone there before. But this is really nice.
We have to thank our staff, Senator Scoy, here, our Cracker Jack staff. So. Okay, that's the time frame then, members. We'll meet again on Tuesday. Take testimony on the bill, stew on it a little bit. If anyone has the need to come up and testify now, you have an opportunity certainly to do so. Any members from the audience wish to testify now? Make comments? Okay, everyone wants to look at it a little more. Well, I appreciate the members' indulgence and your efforts in working here. And members, our goal was to try and protect the core mission of the Department of Agriculture, Board of Animal Health. We need to protect our livestock and the crop industry. I believe this bill does that. It does continue to support our research. Fortunately, everyone has to, in these difficult times, we all have to step up, but we'll see how the discussion goes next week. We were able to keep some research money in. We were able to pay the ethanol payments out. Let's get that finished. I really don't want to go down any more deficiency payments. We've done that twice now, extended them on. Let's get these folks paid the money due to them, and still leave some money for our future with the research programs we have. So, and I will say that we did talk to the Higher Education Committee, give them our concerns about the state ag special. The proposal was to go from about $52 million 2 years ago now to $42 million, about a 20% increase. We made it clear to the committee that we think that's not acceptable. If we're going to do clean water research, we're going to do other research we need, the biofuels and everything else. We need folks at the university there to carry out the work for us. And a 20% cut is not acceptable to us, and we made that clear to the Higher Ed Committee. So we'll see what happens with that. So seeing no further questions, no one wishing to testify, well, the meeting of today's Agriculture and Rural Economies Committee is adjourned. Thank you.